Oh my, oh my goodness. That was the perfect time to go live as Wyatt Langford drives in the game-winning run with an absolute rocket off the bat. Oh my goodness, I would love to see the exit velocity on that one. Wyatt Langford wins the game for the Rangers in extra innings. We are going to bring you everything from this game. Man, I was on a roller coaster this entire nine innings. It was not looking good for the Rangers in this one. Very quintessential Rangers performance, honestly. And you know what? It was looking bleak for a moment there, especially in the ninth inning. But Wyatt Langford wins this one in the bottom of the 10th. And it was an absolute laser. We're going to try and get the exit velocity on that one. Let me check it out here. 109 miles an hour off the bat. Wyatt Langford doubled the left field over the left fielder's head. Almost 110 miles an hour off the bat. Wins the game, keeps the season hopes alive. Did Wyatt Langford just save the season? I don't know. We'll see what happens, but I sure hope this win propels the Rangers to some special things this week. What a win. Perfect time to go live. Literally right as my countdown was hitting zero, Wyatt Langford hits the game winner over the left fielder's head. Oh, man, gets the ice bath, too. I'm watching right now post game. Somebody came up and just dumped a whole bucket of ice on him. My goodness. Fun stuff. When you get on in these kinds of games, I'll tell you what, it's a lot easier. Rangers get the win. Special, special game. You can only hope that they take advantage of this one. You can only hope they take advantage of this. And what I mean by that is they build on this win. Don't let it be just one moment in time. Use this win as a galvanizing moment for the rest of the season. I know it's just against the White Sox. Look, it shouldn't be this close against a team that's lost 70 games. And in games like this where you come out a winner, we can be a little bit picky about some things here and there and not really care at the end of the day because we got the win. And we're going to dive into this one. We're going to get into some little things, kind of the minutiae of the ball game, but we are going to dwell mostly on the positives. And Wyatt Langford getting an opportunity. So if you didn't catch the game and you're tuning in for the first time, we're going to start it from the beginning. But just to give you a little spoiler, Wyatt Langford comes up with bases loaded. Leody Taveras perfectly executed a sack bunt to get the ghost runner from second over to third. Marcus Semien, very uncharacteristic, non-productive out at bat, whatever you want to call it. He strikes out with one out. So there's two outs. They actually decide to walk not just Corey Seager, but they also intentionally walked Josh Smith. So we had two back-to-back intentional walks. You don't see that all the time. I wasn't sure if they were going to pinch hit. Or excuse me, I wasn't sure if they were going to pitch to Josh Smith or not. I kind of thought maybe they tried their luck with Josh Smith, honestly. I really thought to myself, Josh Smith, he's 0-for on the day. He had one walk up to that point, but he was 0-for. And I know Josh Smith is a formidable hitter, but I don't know if he's a guy that a lot of teams are afraid of yet. And he hasn't been hitting well. He's, I believe, hitting something like 0-50. I'd have to look, y'all. Josh Smith has not been hitting well of late. Last seven games for Josh Smith, he is hitting 0-87. So my point in bringing that up is not to kick him while he's down, but I was just surprised that they decided to not pitch to him. He's probably one of the colder hitters right now in this Rangers lineup. It was an interesting call, but ultimately they wanted to live and die with Wyatt Langford, who had just doubled in the at-bat before. I think that's why it was so curious to me. Wyatt Langford had just doubled in the top of the ninth inning to start that rally, and you decide to pitch to Wyatt Langford in that spot. I think I probably would have lived and died with Josh Smith there. It was first and third, two outs. I know you don't have a force at every base, but I probably would have lived and died with Josh Smith if I'm the White Sox manager. So I was very interested, very curious about that decision. I'd love to hear the rationale. If it's anything other than we wanted a force at every base, yikes. But I would have much rather have pitched to Josh Smith there with how poorly Josh Smith has been swinging the bat over his last seven games. Yes, we know that he had the homers in Houston. We know that he had the homers in Houston, but at the same time, I don't know. I would have much rather pitched to Josh Smith in that moment. That's just me. But they decide to go to Wyatt Langford in that spot, and it is what it is. So we'll see. I go back and forth about this, honestly. But yes, I do think the lefty on righty matchup might have played into it a little bit. That being said, I don't know. If you're just going blind, yeah, we want to face the righty. I don't know. That probably isn't my style of manager. You know, just, hey, it's a lefty-lefty matchup or it's a lefty-righty matchup. It doesn't matter who it is. It's a lefty-righty matchup. So we want to get to the righty-righty. I don't know. That's my style, but perhaps that plays into it as well. Didn't want the righty pitcher on the lefty batter, so you walk Josh Smith. But Wyatt Langford sparks the offense again. He did it in the ninth. Big reason why the Rangers even had an opportunity in the 10th. Of course, very uncharacteristic, and we're going to go through everything in the game here in a moment, but Kirby Yates, I think this was his fifth earned run of the season, if I heard that correctly on the broadcast. Fifth earned run? My goodness, that's a testament to how good Kirby Yates has been all year long. And honestly, when he gave up the home run, first of all, I was shocked. Because you just don't expect that from a guy that's been so nails, so lights out all year long. But I was shocked. My next feeling, my next emotion was, how can you be mad at him? Like, how can you be mad at him? He has been one of, if not the best pitcher on this team. I mean, yeah, I know starters, relievers, there's a dichotomy there. But look, Kirby Yates has been the best relief pitcher on this team. You live with it. If Kirby Yates gives up the game, you live with it. Right? You live with something like that. But I just felt so bad, and it seemed pretty hopeless in that spot. We go to the ninth inning, bottom of the ninth, though, and you have Wyatt Langford coming up. And in the ninth inning, Langford doubles, did one of his patented stretch, a single into a double. Josh Smith had just flied out, so there's one out. Wyatt Langford doubles to right field. Adolis Garcia comes up with an opportunity to win the game. I did have in my mind, man, this would be a feel-good moment for Dolly right here to win the game. It didn't work out. Ground ball to shortstop. Langford stole third base. Nate Lowe, can we give Nate Lowe some love? Nate Lowe had an outstanding at-bat to work a walk right before the Jonah Heim single. Nate Lowe on the day, and I'm going to keep on grandstanding for Nate Lowe to be hitting higher in this order. I think you've got to move Nate Lowe up to fifth. Nate Lowe was on base three times today. He's hitting .265 on the year. That walk in the top of the ninth inning with two outs was freaking nails. So I know Wyatt Langford's going to get a ton of love, and I'm going to give it to him too, and I know all the Rangers fans out there are. Yes, I agree. Wyatt Langford, he's going to be in the mix for Rookie of the Year. But don't sleep on Nate Lowe tonight. Two outs, and he works an eight-pitch walk. Are you kidding me? Eight-pitch walk. We're not going to have any of these heroics without that walk from Nate Lowe. It was a big, big moment in the game with two down. You make it a first and third situation. And Jonah Heim, I got to be totally real. My wife and I were on the way back home. We were listening to the game on the radio. And I did say to her, it just doesn't feel like it's our night tonight when Heim stepped up to the plate. I got to be totally honest with y'all. I don't come on here and brag when I got it right, and I really didn't. I got this one wrong. I did not think Jonah Heim was coming through in that spot. I'm going to be totally honest and transparent. It's nothing personal with Jonah Heim. It just did not feel like it was our night tonight. I did not have a lot of confidence when Heim stepped up to the plate. So I'm going to be totally real with y'all. I like to be that way rather than get on here and pretend to be something I'm not. Look, I was not feeling it in that at-bat, but Jonah Heim comes through with yet another clutch hit in extra innings. Y'all remember at the beginning of the year, it feels like a long time ago, and it's been a while, but Jonah Heim, I believe it was opening night, was it not, against the Cubs? He came through with a huge hit in extras. That one was a walk-off. This one ties the game. We have got to make sure that we recognize Jonah Heim and Nate Lowe tonight. I mean, Wyatt Langford is going to get a ton of the press, and rightfully so. You come up with the game-winning hit, bases loaded, two outs, you're going to get a lot of attention, and he deserves it. But don't forget about Nate Lowe. Don't forget about Jonah Heim. Nate Lowe, eight-pitch walk with the game on the line. Actually, he had two strikes on him in that at bat. Nate Lowe had two strikes on him. We were down to our final strike. He works the walk. Nate Lowe was on base three times tonight. You have got to give him his flowers. Jonah Heim as well. Jonah Heim, big hit to tie the game 3-3. And now let's get into Jonathan Hernandez. Let's get into Jonathan Hernandez right now. I've been telling y'all, Jonathan Hernandez deserves to get to pitch in some big spots. And I don't know, with the season on the line, and you guys are going to hear me say that almost pretty every game that we play until the trade deadline and even beyond. I mean, the season is hanging in the balance right now. We have got to put together some wins. So in my mind, the season is on the line in the top of the 10th inning, and Jonathan Hernandez comes on. And I think what is one of the most difficult situations for a pitcher, it's the ghost runner rule. It's extra innings. You've automatically got a runner on second base. All the other team has to do is have a productive out, and then they've got a runner on third base with less than two outs, and there's so many different ways that you can score that runner on third base with less than two outs. Hernandez comes in and gets two Ks, which is exactly what you need when you get faced with that extra inning situation. Hernandez, two big Ks, additionally gets the ground out for the third out on a very good hitter in Tommy Pham. My goodness, Tommy Pham loves hitting at Globe Life Field. I was at game one of the World Series when he hit the home run that ultimately put the Diamondbacks up. Not quite for good. Obviously, Seager and Garcia had other ideas in that game, but Tommy Pham loves hitting at Globe Life, and he's probably the White Sox. I would say he is the White Sox best hitter at this point. Not an easy moment there for Jonathan Hernandez with two outs and a runner on second, but he gets Tommy Pham to ground out. Huge moment. I'm so happy for Jonathan Hernandez. So happy for Hernandez. He has been pitching well this year. Look, he's 3-0 on the season. I know wins for relievers, sometimes it gets to be a little bit meaningless, but look, Jonathan Hernandez has pitched well for us. He has so much potential. 370 ERA over his last seven games. Did have an ugly outing against Baltimore. If you remember, that outing against Baltimore, they asked him to go multi-inning. He went scoreless the first inning and then got roughed up a little bit in the second. I feel like with a lot of these Rangers relievers, if you just let them go one inning, the likelihood is high that they're going to be successful. Now, Leclerc tonight, has to go two innings. Let's just keep spreading the love around to guys that deserve praise tonight. How about Jose Leclerc? Two innings pitched, no hits, no walks, no earned runs, 4 Ks. Jose Leclerc, he was Leclerc tonight. Yes, sir. We love to see it because there are a lot of people that do not like Jose Leclerc. Rangers fans, especially, I see so much hate for Leclerc out there. He was Leclerc tonight. Two innings pitched, 4 Ks. Come on now. Leclerc had an outstanding outing. Really, the entire bullpen was phenomenal tonight. Incredibly outlandish start from Kirby Yates. I mean, instead of start, relief outing, strike that, reverse it. So, look, Yates uncharacteristically giving up a home run. I think only his fifth earned run given up of the season. Jose Leclerc, 225 ERA over his last seven games, 11 Ks and eight innings pitched over those seven. Leclerc, 100%. He gives the Rangers two solid innings in the sixth and the seventh. Mike Lorenzen, look, gutty start from him. Gritty start, I would say. I think this has got to be a season high for strikeouts for Lorenzen with 8 Ks. That's not a number that you see a lot for Mike Lorenzen. 8 strikeouts. Got to be his season high. I would have to check that out, but just off the cuff, I've got to think 8 Ks is a season high for Mike Lorenzen. He did give up the home run to Pham, I believe, and he gave up another run somewhere in there. Can't remember off the top of my head where it was. But look, 5 innings pitched, 2 earned runs. You'll take that from Mike Lorenzen. You will. You'll take that all day. Mike Lorenzen is supposed to be a fourth or fifth starter, as is Andrew Heaney. Those are supposed to be fourth or fifth starters for us at this point. So I am absolutely happy with what I got here from everybody. Even Kirby Yates, you know what? He gives up the bomb. He rebounded very well from it, and he was able to get through the rest of the inning. That's the other thing, right? You give up the big home run. Now you're down 3-2. I think he walked somebody immediately after that. They did a mound visit. And he bared down and he got that last couple of outs. So give him some credit. He could have melted down there. Instead, he pitched through it. He got the Rangers to the bottom half. And there we go. The rest is history. So there's a lot of people we got to point out in this one. And then we can start getting a little bit picky. But a lot of good stuff from the Rangers tonight. I'm glad that it's a win, because this one easily, y'all, I could have got on here and gone scorched earth on a few different things. So I'm glad that I get to do the opposite and spread around some flowers, some love to some of the Rangers players that played really well tonight. Look, as a whole, offensively, we all don't even need to hear this. It wasn't outstanding. Offensively tonight, there were a few big moments. Obviously, Wyatt Langford, Jonah Heim, a few big moments. But collectively, it wasn't outstanding. But all you need to do is win games right now. Just win ball games. And you know what? I don't care that it's against the White Sox. I don't care. Every baseball team that you face, it's going to be tough to win. It's how baseball goes. This isn't, you know, Alabama football going up, and no disrespect, against an Eastern Michigan. I mean, this isn't anything like that. Baseball is a very unique sport. Even a team with 70 losses like the White Sox can beat the best team in baseball on a given night. Now, the Rangers are a much better team than the White Sox are. Make no mistake, this would have been a very disappointing loss to open up the series. Look, the Rangers very well may drop a game against the White Sox, and let's not all panic. I told y'all that over the weekend. Let's not panic if they drop a game against the White Sox. I do think this first game was important because it sets the tone the rest of the series. You lose the first game, now your margin for error is super thin. Right? It's super thin. You really need to win 3 out of 4 games against the Sox. So look, if they drop one of the next 3 games against the White Sox, I'm not going to get on here and melt down about the Rangers season. I'm fully preparing for one loss in this White Sox series. I hope that they can secure the 3 wins sooner rather than later. I would love a sweep, but I am prepared for 3 out of 4. You needed to go 5-2 this week. We talked about that mathematically. I think 5-2 puts you in a very good position. And then if you can win on Monday, the day before the trade deadline in St. Louis, maybe go 6-2, 5-2 now over the next 7 games. That would be very ideal. That would put the Rangers at 1 game under .500 going into the trade deadline. You can work with that. You can work with 1 game under .500 at the trade deadline. Absolutely. Absolutely. John, I totally relate to this. I felt like we were losing the entire night. By the way, appreciate the comment, bud. Thanks for tuning in. I felt like this the entire night. I mean, I know we came back and tied it at 2-2. Leody had a very nice game. I almost forgot about Leody Taveras. Big home run from Leody. That was a bomb, 400-plus feet. Give the man some credit. He got down that sacrifice bunt in the bottom of the 10th. They were talking about it on the broadcast. I thought maybe they were going to do the announcer's jinx on the Bally broadcast. They talked about right when he was squaring, Leody, he struggled to sacrifice bunt of late, you know. And I was like, oh, no, don't say it out loud. Please don't say it out loud. But Leody got down a perfect sacrifice bunt. He had a great game tonight. Home run, playing some small ball, executing it perfectly, getting the runner over to third base with one out. That was huge. So Leody, another guy that we got to give some props to tonight. Simeon, a little bit of an up and down game from him, in my opinion. He does have the big home run. Really poor from him in the bottom of the 10th inning. From a guy that you're paying that much money, you really want to be clutch with the season on the line. It happens in baseball. But you really want to see Simi, Seager, all these guys come up clutch with the game on the line. And, you know, up until that 10th inning, we just weren't quite getting it. We weren't quite getting it. But I am sure glad that it all worked out as it should. And the Rangers get a win in this one, 4-3. And I want to say thank you to everybody who's tuning in live right now, hanging out, celebrating the win. I appreciate you guys. Anybody watching on the replay later on, thank you for choosing Ride On Rangers. Ton of different content out there, channels, accounts that cover Rangers. Thanks for choosing this one. I appreciate you guys. Let me keep going through and mowing through comments. Lowe was freaking amazing. A walk is bigger than a hit sometimes. Look, Nate Lowe was down. We were down to our last strike with Nate Lowe up in the 9th inning. And Nate Lowe, 8-pitch walk. Look, 6 pitches or more. I was always taught by my coaches, and I had some really good ones both in high school and college. I was always taught 6-pitch or more, 6-plus AB, quality at bat. Even if you get an out, even if you still end up getting out, quality at bat. If you're working 6 pitches or more, And I do agree with that, and I always have. So Nate Lowe, 8 pitch at bat, and you're working a walk at the end of it to extend the game when the Rangers are down to their final strike. Nothing happens in this game. The Heim hit doesn't happen. The Langford hit doesn't happen without Nate Lowe's clutch performance. I totally agree. Let me keep going here. Natalie says, do you think Langford should have caught the 2 balls he missed? I think he made an effort. Yeah, I do. I think I'd have to look at the stat cast on that. I'd have to see how catchable some of those were. Off the top of my head, I would say just eye test, yes. I do think that he probably could have played a couple of those better. I know Seager had an error today, missing a catch. It was sloppy defensively. Again, Rangers lose this one. I probably would have gone a little scorched earth on the sloppiness. And that was Seager. That was a little bit Langford out there in the outfield. But a win covers a multitude of sins, if you know what I mean. It just does. So Wyatt Langford coming through in the bottom of the 10th inning. It erases a lot of that stuff that should have been cleaned up. But you know what? You're absolutely right. I do think you've got to give him a little bit of slack. He hasn't been playing a ton of major league outfield. I mean, what, 3 months? We'll give the guy a little bit of a break, especially since he hits the game winner, a laser, 110 miles an hour off the bat, if you didn't catch it. That's how hard that ball was hit by Wyatt Langford to win the game. 110 off the bat. Man, was I sure hoping that was not going to be right at the left fielder. Off the bat, I thought this one's getting to the fence because it looked like he smoked it, and he did. But you know how it goes sometimes in baseball. You know, I didn't know where the left fielder was playing. But once they panned to the outfield shot, I'm like, yeah, there's no way. And that ball was getting to that fence in a hurry, 100%. LeClutch, 2 innings, 4 Ks, no base runners. Don't hate on Jose LeClerc. Stop hating on him. 2.25 ERA in his last 7 games. Show the man some love. Yeah, we talked about defensive mistakes. We got to be better. Seager with the missed catch, Langford, you know, kind of misplaying, I would say, a couple of balls out there in the outfield. What's up, my guy? Thanks for tuning in. Appreciate the comments, too. Langford's the hero. He is. There's a few other guys I think we got to point to as well, but Langford, big hero tonight. Look, he gets out. We go to the top of the 11th. Who knows what happens? Who knows what happens? Top of the 11th, you know, there's no guarantee the White Sox aren't putting in a run or two. We needed to win that game right there, and I'm glad that we did, 100%. Hey, I threw up a few as well. I'm not even going to lie. I know we're probably not all religious here, but look, I was throwing up a few myself. Just like, come on, please, please come through here. Sure enough, it worked out. Let me see here. I'm going to start reading some of the comments better because I know I got some people listening on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. John says, are freaking play-by-play people. More often than not, they're speaking horrible things into existence. I was glad to see Leody's execution so clutch. Yeah, John's referring to, and I know I'm a little bit behind on the comments, right before Leody in the bottom of the 10th squared around to sacrifice bunt to move the runner over to third from second. They were like, yeah, Leody has not been very good in these spots at being asked to sacrifice bunt. And then literally seconds later puts down a perfect one. So I know, man, sometimes it's the announcer's jinx. And look, they got to do it. They got to fill the airtime with things that catch people's attention. I get it. But when they said it out loud, I'm like, oh my gosh, please no. I was fully expecting a pop-up bunt, you know, right to the pitcher up next, just because that's how it goes in baseball sometimes with the announcer's jinx. I'm glad Leody did his thing in that moment. Look, John, you said a walk is as good as a hit sometimes. Look, sometimes a perfectly executed bunt is as good as a hit. And I would say in that spot, being asked to move the runner over to third, not an easy thing to do. We've talked about this. There's not a lot of teams out there. I'm not going to blanket statement and say nobody is emphasizing bunting anymore. But in my opinion, there's not a lot of teams out there and programs really emphasizing bunting anymore. And let's be real, a lot of the guys that get drafted into the league, they are not bunters in high school and in college. A lot of the guys coming into the league, they are 3 or 4 hole hitters, and they are killing it with homers and RBIs. They're not being asked to bunt a ton. Now, yes, there are a few guys, there are exceptions, but there's not a lot of guys being asked to bunt in the major leagues. When they come into the league for the first time, it's not a majority. a lot of guys that get drafted are big time hitters on their college team, on their high school team. And then they go to the minors and it's the same thing. They're not placed in roles where they have to bunt a ton. So look, not an easy thing to do. Leody gets it done though. Marcus Semien did actually strike out. They did show the slow-mo replay. And in Marcus Semien's at bat in the bottom of the 10th with one out, they did show the check swing. It just grazed off the bottom of his bat. And credit to the White Sox catcher, it worked out perfectly. And his glove was right there to execute the strikeout on Semien. So, yes, it did just barely hit the bat. Look, this comment says, I can't wait for Garcia to heat up. Same, 100%. And I was hoping that Garcia was going to take advantage of the bottom of the ninth situation where he could have driven the game-tying run there, potentially walked it off. That was the first thought that came to my mind when he stepped up to the plate, when Dolley stepped up in the bottom of the ninth right after Langford hits the double with one out. I'm thinking, this is Dolley's moment. He's going to win the game or tie it. He's going to break out of his slump. It wasn't meant to be. And the fact that the Rangers won, I think, puts a little bit of a blanket, whatever you want to call it, over Dolley's poor game once again. It wasn't a great game from Adolis Garcia. And look, I can't say that he was squaring it up, but it was right at somebody today. It was a lot of moderate, medium contact. I don't feel like Dolley had a real great game. 0 for 4, averages down to 205. And Garcia, over his last seven games, is hitting 077. 123 over his last 15 games. I really think Dolly's got to drop down to six. I think you need Nate Lowe up at fifth, getting as many at bats as possible. I want to see Dolley break out in the worst way. It's just now coming. I think they've got to move Adolis Garcia down in the order. That's just me. Let me keep going here. Natalie says, I think Langford will be no more for his hitting than defense. Absolutely. And I think the Seager comp is a great one in terms of, I think all of us see Corey Seager as a good defender. I think Seeks is a good defender. He has had a few plays this year where you're just kind of like, what? Like, I mean, I don't think anybody's expecting Seager to be making like highlight reel after highlight reel play, but you are expecting Seeks to make those routine to moderately difficult plays. Now, the full extension dives that you see from some of the best shortstops defensively in baseball, I don't know you're going to see that from Seeks. But we've seen him make some nice diving stops, but he had an error tonight, miscatch. He's had a few errors where kind of on routine-ish plays, he boots the ball. But look, Seager, I think, is a good defender. Not great, not elite. I think he's a good defender. I think Langford is going to be similar. We are going to see Langford for his hitter's prowess, but I don't think we're going to think about Wyatt as the best defender out on the field. Now, look, speed helps. And I think speed is going to help Wyatt get to a lot of baseballs that he might not have ordinarily been able to get to. Or if Wyatt misreads a ball, his speed is going to help him recover better than some guys out there. Some major league outfielders, they're not as fast as Wyatt, and they have to be perfect with their judgment of the fly balls, with the routes that they take and the accuracy that goes into those routes. Wyatt can misstep and maybe still make a recovery on a ball that he misjudges. So I do think that that is a positive for him. But you're right, I do think at the end of the day, we are going to think of Wyatt Langford more as a hitter than a defender out there. Tristan, what's up, my guy? Thanks for the comment. Appreciate you. Astros are losing 4-0. That is what I like to see. That is what I like to see. Thanks for the update. We are absolutely going to be doing some scoreboard watching, 100%. I'm going to pull up the scoreboard right now while we're talking. I'm going to be doing the AOS roundup here with you guys in a little bit here. But Astros are playing the A's. Mariners are leading 1-0 in the top of the seventh. Angels do have a runner on first base with no outs. Man, that would be nice if we could double up. Mariners, Stros lose. Right now, it's dead even in the AL West. Houston and Seattle tied for first place. Rangers with the win are 4.5 out with any win from Houston or Seattle. That would go back to 5. So if Mariners win, they'll take over first place, and the Rangers' deficit will go back to 5 games. Rangers are now 7 games out of a wild card spot, so small improvement there. We'll see how the rest of the wild card team shake out tonight. But good to see the Astros losing. Hopefully we can get potentially a little Mariners loss here with an Angels comeback. That would be the plan. Biggie, what's up, man? Thanks so much for tuning in. Huge win. Oh, you went to the game? Okay, now here's what you got to do. Right now, Big E, if you're watching, get on Ballpark app and buy tickets for the next, like, six games we got. Do whatever you got to do. Show up to every game so we can get these wins, my guy. Please, please. Anybody that's been going after a win, go the next day. I mean, just because. Keep the superstition alive. You won for us, so go back and win again. Oh, my gosh. Let me see here. Another comment here from Big E. Balls were hit hard, but right at position players. I feel mentally our boy Adolis isn't there. We need Garcia to get his confidence back and fast. That is why I say, you know, think about what they did with Wyatt Langford. So first of all, Wyatt Langford injured his hammy in Kansas City. This was back in like May, right? And he went on the IL for about 3 weeks. And he came back and he was a changed man at the plate. It was just like a great mental flush for him. And look, he went through a little bit of a struggle the past week. He was like in an 0 for 25, 26, Wyatt Langford was. But that mental break really helped. Now, look, Dolly, I don't think he's going to have the same benefit unless he has a legitimate injury, right? But I do agree right now, I think Dolly could use a reset. And you remember, they moved Wyatt Langford down in the order. They had him hitting like third and fifth before the hamstring injury. And they moved him down to help take some pressure off of him. And then when he came back, he was hitting seventh, sixth, lower in the order, less pressure, right? You're not under a microscope. You don't have as many big RBI opportunities. That's why I've been grandstanding. Let's get Nate Lowe in the five spot. Let's move Dolly down to six. You can always move him back up. You can always move Adolis Garcia back to fourth, back to fifth when the bat starts heating up. We're not saying move him down in the order permanently if the dude starts hitting a home run every other game. Of course you move Dolly back up. But right now, can you move him down to sixth? I mean, seventh even. I wouldn't probably go that low. I'd at least be moving him down to sixth. At this point, I would not mind at all if they did Lowe, Heim, Dolly, 5, 6, 7. I don't see any problem with that. None at all. I don't know if they're going to do it. That's why I told y'all last week, I do feel like right now it's feelings over facts. Right? I think they don't want to hurt Dolly's feelings, so they keep batting him fifth. Because there's literally no other justification for continuing to hit Dolly above Nate Lowe with how bad Dolly has been the last 30-plus games. There's no justification. Besides, hey, he was our guy last year in 2023. We love Garcia. We don't want him to lose any more confidence or get in his feelings, so we're going to leave him at the five spot. Dude, he's got to drop down with Nate Lowe seeing the ball. I mean, we're talking about Dolly and the vision and the mental side. How locked in is Nate Lowe right now? You're not going to get a hit every time, but Nate Lowe's at bat in the ninth inning should tell you all you need to know about how locked in that guy is. You're down to your last strike, and you're working an eight-pitch walk. That takes some mental fortitude, some focus, plate discipline, vision, all the things that a lot of us Rangers fans are saying that Adolis is lacking right now. So I don't think there's any excuse to not hit Nate Lowe fifth. I'd like to see it happen this series. You can always move Adolis back up when he gets hot again. Nate Lowe needs to be hitting five right behind Wyatt. I'd love to see it. I think it's great, too, because then think about it this way. We haven't talked about this, the strategy. So now when you move Nate Lowe up to the five spot, you now have lefty, righty, which is a strategy that should be employed with the minimum three batters that relief pitchers have to face. Now you've got Josh Schmidt, Wyatt Langford, you got lefty, righty, if you were to go Smith, Langford, Lowe, and then Dolly. And Jonah Heim, switch hitter, whatever. You got another guy, if you hit Heim behind Dolly, that is going to force opposing bullpens to have to be a little bit more uncomfortable. Right? This way, the lineup as currently constructed, you have two righties back-to-back. Now, when you go Nate Lowe five, you basically have alternating lefty-righty all the way through the eighth spot. You're three through eighth, right? Seager and Smith back-to-back lefty-lefty, but you're three through eight because Leody is a switch hitter too after Heim. So you're basically going lefty-righty, alternating the entire way through. I mean, I think that that's huge. I think that that is a big advantage lineup-wise. Another reason why Nate Lowe could easily be in the five spot. Let's keep on going here. We've got a few other things to discuss from the game tonight, and then we're going to lock in on the game tomorrow. First of all, top of the order, we talked about Simi already. Corey Seager did extend his on-base streak to is it 21 or 22 games? He did work that walk. So Corey Seager does extend the on-base streak once again. I believe it's at 21 or 22. If you know for sure, drop it in the comments for me. Longest active on-base streak in the major league. Seags had one that was, I think, around 30 games earlier in the year. And then he went ahead and got this one started. So Corey Seager, leading active player in on-base streak right now. I think he's up to 21 or 22. We talked about Josh Smith. Works one walk. He got intentionally walked in the bottom of the 10th. But Josh Smith, not in a good way right now, up at the plate. You take away the two home runs that he had in Houston, and he is 0 for his last 21. If he didn't have those two home runs in Houston, he would be 0 for 23. So he's 2 for his last 23. Does have 5 walks in those 23 at-bats to go along with. But batting .087, OBP is at 300, so at least somewhat respectable with all of his HBPs and the walks. That OBP, not terrible, but .087, not super ideal for a three-hole hitter. I'm assuming they're going to keep on riding with him in that spot because of how good he's been collectively over the course of the season. But hopefully Josh Smith can turn things around. Not in a great way right now up at the plate. 2 for his last 23, and those two hits were the two bombs in Houston to get that win. Wyatt Langford, 2 for 5 tonight, game-winning double, single, I guess, technically. Would have easily been a double, but I think it goes down as a single. And he had another double in the game as well that set up the rally in the ninth inning to tie it. Wyatt Langford, huge game for him. Langford, after that 0 for 26 or 7 that he was in, starting to come around a little bit. Four hits in his last three games. Nice to see from him. He was 1 for 3 with a walk yesterday against Baltimore. He goes 2 for 5 with the game-winning RBI and a double to go along with it. Good to see Wyatt coming through. The Rangers are not going to be able to get this done without either Wyatt Langford or Dolie really locked in at the plate. If both those guys can get hot, I really feel like this is going to be a super tough team to beat, especially when Josh Young gets back. Like we said earlier, we are just waiting, praying that Adolis can start figuring it out, because this is a totally different team when he is hitting bombs, hitting the ball hard in the gaps. It changes everything. So we are not rooting for the downfall of Adolis Garcia. Make no mistakes. We're obviously going to call things out as we see it. We're going to read y'all the stats. We're not going to tell you things are great when they're not going great. And right now they're not going great for Adolis Garcia. But we 1,000% hope that he can turn it around. Love Dolie. Obviously was huge, was super clutch for us in October last year. And we're never going to forget that. But right now the season's on the line, right? We can dwell on last year. We can excuse Adolis with he did so great for us last year. We're trying to win another World Series this year. Are we not? I mean, look, there's a chance for the Rangers to still make the playoffs this year. And right now, yes, obviously you can give love for what he did in 23, but right now there's an opportunity for the Rangers to still win in 2024. So if we can get Wyatt Langford and Dolie both clicking at the same time, that is going to make a world of difference from this ball club and probably propel them to a division title. If they can get Josh Young, Evan Carter, everybody clicking at once, oh my goodness, that is crazy. So right now, let's go ahead and let's keep things rolling. I'm going to keep going with comments. Ty, what's up, man? Thanks for tuning in. Send Adolis Garcia to Atlanta. We need outfielders. Look, I think when the Rangers were really struggling, and I mean really, really struggling, there was, I think, some chatter that the Rangers were going to trade some guys that were under control for a number of years beyond this one. Dolie's one of them, right? He's signed through next year. We've got him for the rest of this year, and his contract takes him through the end of next year. So Dolie's controllable. I don't think we're going to be trading him now that the Rangers are a little bit more, especially with the two wins back-to-back. They're not out of it quite yet. It's not looking great, but the Rangers aren't out of it quite yet. We'll see. I do know, I can say this, there's a lot of Rangers fans at least that I've run into that wouldn't mind seeing a guy like Dolie traded. And look, the Rangers are most likely not going to give Adolis Garcia a big contract. I mean, does anybody out there think that we're going to be giving Dolie a 4 or 5 year deal at the end of this 2 year contract that he's in? I don't think so. I mean, I don't mean to burst anybody's bubble, but Adolis is not a guy that you're giving a big contract to. I think you're going to ride it out with him this year and next year. Depends on how next year goes, how he's doing, but he might be a guy that they look to deal. I don't know. I don't think the Rangers are going to be giving him a big, fat, multi-year contract, though. Again, hate to burst anybody's bubble or anybody that's a big Doley fan. I would be very surprised if he lasted beyond this current contract that he's in, which takes us through the end of the 2025 season. Let's keep on going here. A comment says, could Wyatt end up moving back up to the three spot if he keeps hitting and Smith keeps struggling? Yes, I do think that that is on the table, especially when Josh Jung comes back. Let's say Josh Smith struggles until Josh Jung comes back. I do think 100% that they are going to be making Josh Smith potentially a guy that hits a little bit back in the order. I do think that they're going to give Josh Smith a little bit of runway. But as I told y'all a few days ago, there's no time for anybody's feelings right now. You have got to get the best lineup on the field that's going to give you the best chance of winning. Think about in a playoff game, when you've got a pitcher out there that's struggling early in a playoff game, what do? You usually yank the guy and you bring in somebody else before the guy out there melts down. And I would submit to you that the Rangers are in playoff mode right now. It's fun, I think, as a fan, to have your team playing meaningful games already. Look, do I wish that they were 20 games above 500 right now and not sweating out games in July? 100%. But at that being said, I think the glass half full mentality is we get to watch games every night that are very meaningful. The season is on the line pretty much every game that they play from here on out, right? If they lose a game, we can live with some losses here and there, but the Rangers got to win a majority of their games moving forward. So I could see the Rangers making a move. If Josh Smith gives you another couple of offers and Wyatt Langford is tearing it up, you could see something like that. Now, I think it's more likely to happen when Josh Jung gets back, because Josh Jung is a 1-5 hitter, probably more like a 3-5 hitter, right? To be more specific. So when he gets back, I absolutely could see them doing something with Josh Smith, maybe moving him back a little bit. I don't think they're going to hit him cleanup. I think you would probably do something like Josh Jung hitting 3, probably against lefties. Maybe they want to keep Wyatt Langford in that 4 spot. And then maybe you go Doley 5 or Nate Lowe 5, Josh Smith 6, something like that. I don't know. I think they're going to try not to knee-jerk too much with Josh Smith just because of how good he has been. But last 7 games, 087, 2 for his last 23. I mean, Wyatt Langford did just go through an 0-26, and they batted him fourth every time. So if that gives you any indication what they're going to be doing with Josh Smith, I mean, I think they're going to give him a few more games before they do anything drastic. Do I know if DeGrom is coming back this year? Yes, he is, as long as everything goes well. Last I heard on DeGrom, by the way, he is throwing. He just threw spinners for the last outing. So I think he threw like his slider or sweeper or something like that. So he's been throwing fastballs and change ups. Now he's spinning some pitches. I think he is going to continue to ramp things up. I would imagine maybe early August he goes out on a rehab assignment, and then maybe we get him back mid-August. I think that seems like a natural timeline for him, but you never know, right? He gets a little sore or something doesn't feel 100%. They're not going to have him progress. They're going to shut him down pretty quick. So I would say things got to go pretty well for DeGrom to be back in mid-August. Obviously, we're wishing him all the best, but that is the plan. Get DeGrom back maybe second, third week of August, something like that. Tristan says, I hope Garcia stays in Texas. Look, I think Garcia is always going to be beloved by Rangers fans. I know for me, that is true 1,000%. But there are some realities with Garcia. He is getting older. He is a guy that, you know, went in the minor leagues and stayed there for much of his 20s. I mean, Garcia, he is, is he 30? Is he pushing close to 30 right now? I'll check this out real quick. Don't know it off the top of my head. I knew he was upper 20s for sure, late 20s for sure. But Doley right now is 31, so I was off. Doley's 31 right now, and he's still on what I call a rookie contract, right? He's still under team control back from when he was drafted by the Cardinals. So he's still in that seven-year window where he's under team control. He hasn't even gone to an unrestricted free agency yet. That's just not a guy that you are going to be keeping around long-term. Doley is going to want to get paid. I guarantee it. I mean, unless he just falls off an absolute cliff, Doley is going to want to get paid when he becomes an unrestricted free agent. And I think there is a team that's probably going to pay him something better than what the Rangers will. And the Rangers have such a surplus at the outfield position. I don't think that they are going to be clamoring to keep him around. You got Evan Carter. You've got Wyatt Langford. You've just drafted some outfielders that have some pretty good potential. You've got some guys down at the AAA level and AA level that are outfielders that have potential. I just don't see Doley lasting beyond his what I call rookie contract. But you know what? Stranger things have happened. But my guess would be we have him this year and next year, and then he's probably done. He's probably done as a Ranger, unless he just loves it here so much and he's willing to take some kind of very team-friendly deal. That's my take on Doley and his tenure, his future in Texas. Now, we talked about pitching a little bit. I think we're good on hitting. Jonah Heim comes up with the big knock in the ninth inning to tie the game. Foscue 0-for-4 with 2 Ks, hitting 154 now. Look, that's a small sample size, so his average is going to fluctuate a lot. I said last night on the live, I really never felt like Foscue was going to be any kind of answer for us. We talked about him briefly. I think, Natalie, you brought up that, you know, Foscue could be an option at DH, and sure enough, that is what they've been trying. But I just didn't feel like Foscue was going to come up and do a whole lot. I know he had that double kind of right off the bat, pun intended, when he came up, like, I think in his first game, but hasn't done a whole lot since then. So Foscue, I think he's going to be around until Josh Young gets back. And then I think we probably see him go back down. I don't know. Maybe we'll keep him up as a utility guy, but I don't think he's going to be getting a whole lot of at-bats when Josh Young, especially when Evan Carter comes back. I don't see any pathway for Foscue to get at-bats when everybody's healthy. And then we talked about Leody. He had a big home run tonight, big sacrifice as well. Leody, from your nine spot, you'll take 1-for-3 with the homer and a big sacrifice bunt in extra innings, a productive out to move a runner over. Everything that you could ask for from Leody. When your nine spot is hitting a bomb, getting on base, playing small ball. So we got to give Leody some respect, some love, some flowers tonight. Big, big game from him. Rangers, 8 left on base tonight. Not super great when you start creeping towards double-digit LOB, but look, we got the win, right? That's what I'm going to keep saying anytime any sort of negative comes up in this box score review. We got the win. And then runners in scoring position, 2-for-7. So respectable. That's, I think, 286 average with runners in scoring position. Not terrible. Foscue, 3 guys left in scoring position with 2 outs. Not his best night at the plate. He did have an opportunity in the bottom of the ninth to win the game. Didn't happen for him. That would have been a fun moment for Foscue. The other rookie, Wyatt Langford, gets the big moment instead, and it's a 4-3 win for the Rangers. We talked about Lorenzen, 8 Ks. I think that's a season high for him. Leclerc, 2 innings, no base runners, 4 Ks. Good stuff from him. Robertson, 1 inning pitched, 1 K, no base runners. Kirby Yates, uncharacteristically, gives up a home run, his 5th earned run of the season. That's crazy. So we'll forgive him. Nails from Kirby Yates, really all year long. Hard to get mad at him, but he bounced back, was able to get a couple Ks, get the game to extra innings, or at least to the bottom of the ninth, excuse me, in that spot. Jonathan Hernandez, we already sung his praises. Huge spot from him. 1 inning, 2 Ks. And that's all with the runner on second base to start out the top of the 10th inning. Not an easy spot to come into. Jonathan Hernandez did an outstanding job. And now I think we should go towards our game tomorrow. We'll see what we have for a pitching matchup. And we'll see how each respective lineup has fared against the opposing pitcher. By the way, scoreboard watching right now, right? We have got the Astros losing 4-0 in the top of the ninth with 2 outs. So it does look like the A's are going to be able to pull that one off. So that means that the Astros would drop down to second place with a Mariners win. With a Mariners loss, they would maintain their tie with the Mariners for first place. The Rangers would gain a full game on both teams and be up or down only 4 games in the division. Right now, the Angels are losing 1-0 in Seattle. They do have runners on first and second with one out here in the top of the eighth. We'll continue to update you on those scores as they change or as the inning changes. Now for tomorrow, same time start, I believe, 7:05 Texas time, 5:05 out here in Vegas. We are going to be facing a pretty good pitcher, a pitcher that has been the subject of many trade talks. Dodgers are in on this guy, Crochet, Garrett Crochet, lefty. One of the first times we faced a lefty in a while, I feel like. I feel like we've had like a really long run of facing righties. Feel like it's been a little while since we faced a lefty. Don't feel like we've seen Robbie Grossman in the lineup for quite some time. So maybe we'll see Robbie Grossman tomorrow against Crochet. It does not look like, and I wouldn't imagine that the Rangers have a lot of at-bats against him. So we'll see. I'll check it out and give y'all the stats. And then on the other side, we are going to be starting, let me see here, loading, technology. Y'all know how it goes sometimes. Oh my goodness. We are going to be starting John Gray. And John Gray worked in relief in the Baltimore game on Friday night, I believe. So he'll be making his start. Now let's check out how each lineup has fared against the other. So I lied. There are a few guys that have at-bats against Crochet. Garcia, 1-for-2. Grossman is 0-for-3. I think we'll probably see Robbie tomorrow, but he's 0-for-3. Excuse me. Heim is 0-for-2. Nate Lowe, 0-for-1. And that's all the stats that we have against Crochet. Now, against Gray, Benintendi is 2-for-3. DeJong is 2-for-9 with the home run. DeJong hit the big homer in the top of the ninth for the White Sox to put them up 3-2. Maybe a guy to watch out for. Lopez, 1-for-1. Tommy Pham is 1-for-16. He's their best hitter, so I think that's a positive. Robert, 1-for-3. Senzel is 1-for-8. And Vaughn is 0-for-2. So look, some pretty favorable numbers John Gray has against this White Sox lineup. And I think that we are going to probably see, if I had to just predict right now, a similar game. Crochet, 3.02 ERA, 6-6 on the year. Look, to be 6-6... pitching for the White Sox, I think that's pretty impressive. Over his last seven games, Crochet, 2.15 ERA. So he's been very, very good. 57 strikeouts in 37, or his last 38 innings. Impressive. Look, so Crochet, that guy's no joke. I think that the Rangers are going to have their hands full tomorrow. We'll see what ends up happening, but I think it's going to probably be another pitcher's duel tomorrow, if I had to guess. We'll see what happens, but maybe Robbie Grossman appearance. But the game, same time, 7:05 Texas time start. We shall see. We shall see. Pretty excited about, let me get the comment here, about Dreiling. Sorry if I'm butchering that name. Yeah, I don't know how quick he's going to be up, but I could see that being the outfield from what I've heard. We'll see what happens there. Tomorrow, I would imagine what they will probably do is maybe Robbie in left and Wyatt in center. I don't know. I'm curious. Robbie has been doing a lot of DHing, so I don't really know what the plan is. Robbie isn't the best left fielder. I mean, he's okay. He's not like terrible, but not a super ideal defender. So I am very curious to see what they'll do with Robbie Grossman. Grossman generally starts against lefties. If you're having Foscue do the DHing, which makes sense. I don't know if they're going to bench Foscue. I think that they'll probably have Robbie play left field, and then you probably move Wyatt over to center. I can only guess, but that seems like probably the right progression there. Now, let's keep going. Looks like in the score of the Astros and the A's game, I think that has finally gone final, and we have a 4-0 win for the A's. So Astros drop their second game in a row. They are 52-48, currently in second place. And the Angels have just tied the game. So the Angels are now 1-1 with the Mariners out in Seattle. There are two outs in the top of the eighth inning. We'll see if the Angels can push across the go-ahead run here. We'll continue to keep you posted. If the Mariners were to lose, the Rangers would only be 4 games out of the AL West. If the Mariners were to win this game, the Rangers would be 5 games out. Right now, they are 4.5 with the win. We'll see what happens. We'll continue to bring you updates on that game as long as we are live. Now, around the league tonight, let me check on headlines, and then we're going to start wrapping things up. Let's see. Bobby Witt continues to be on an absolute tear. Looks like he flirted with the cycle. We had some tempers flaring a little bit in that game as well. So, look, Royals are right in the thick of things. They are in a prime wild card spot at the moment. By the way, if you're not up to date with all the scores and who's playing who, the Royals today were playing the Diamondbacks in Kansas City. So we'll see what happens in that game. It was 10-4, I believe, final. Beyond that, around the rest of the league, Scooble continued to strengthen his Cy Young case today. Another very good performance from him. They won 8-2 today over the Guardians. And he is the subject of a lot of trade talks. Another guy the Dodgers are targeting, Tarek Skubal. He's pitched against us a couple of times. Done pretty well. I think we beat him the first time. I think he got us the second time. Lindor hit two homers in Miami. And beyond that, James Paxton was DFA'd from the Dodgers. Okay. Interesting move there. I wonder if he's going to get some interest. Wyatt Langford did get on the MLB front page with his first career walk-off hit. Good to see that. And beyond that, I don't think there's a whole lot else for us to cover, you guys. Looks like the Mariners were able to get out of the top of the eighth without the Angels scoring the go-ahead run. So that game goes to the bottom of the eighth, 1-1. We're all big Angels fans right now. We'll see what happens. We shall see, y'all. I'm sure hoping the Angels can pull it off. That would mean the Rangers are only 4 games back in the division. That sure would be nice to take advantage. Every AL West team beyond the Rangers are playing each other right now. We got the A's and the Astros, and we got the Angels and the Mariners playing each other. This is a great opportunity with us playing one of, if not the worst team in baseball in the White Sox. Great opportunity for us to gain some ground right as the trade deadline approaches. Big week for Texas Rangers baseball, and we're going to be here bringing you the post-game analysis after every game. And we appreciate y'all tuning in. If you're not followed, if you're not subscribed to the channel yet, would greatly appreciate you doing so. Eli, thank you so much for subscribing, for liking the video. Appreciate you. Stay up to date. Hit that notification bell, right? Get a notie every time we go live. Every time we post something, you can stay up to date with our latest and greatest content. And if you know somebody that loves the Rangers or loves baseball in general, please tell them about the channel. Tell them about my account. Send them one of my videos. I would be very, very grateful. Let me check comments one more time. I don't think we have anything else, so I hope y'all have a great rest of your Monday night. Hope to see you on one of the lives this coming week. Again, we will be going live after every game this week. Big week for Texas Rangers baseball. Hope to see you at another one or perhaps on the replay. Have a great Monday night. Have a great week ahead. And as I always say, God bless. Go Rangers. We'll see y'all later. Bye now.